You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's 12/20/21. Well, inflation, flash in the pan, or is it here to stay? There are two sides to every argument. You know, actually, there's three sides, her side, his side, and the truth. But in this case, just two sides for the inflation argument. Nat gas has come down. Uranium is up. What else is ahead? Well, we're going to talk to the Daily Gold's Jordan Roy Byrne, get his perspective on it. Jordan, welcome back. So last time we spoke, you pretty much believed the market was signaling that inflation was not going to stay where it was, that it would be decelerating.
Yeah, Gary, thanks for having me on again. Yeah, I have to reiterate that view. I mean, if you look at how the markets are acting, you know, long-term bonds, I mean, long-term rates are, they've been coming down in recent months. You know, bonds have rallied. And if you look at how the market has reacted, given the statistics, I mean, I think the last CPI reading was at 6.9%, which is, you know, really high and probably the highest inflation we've had in many years. But if you look at where's gold, where's silver, they're trading well below their previous highs. And, you know, the same thing with the mining stocks, commodity, you know, oil last month had a last month, November, had a pretty big move to the downside. So I think it's possible that it has peaked for the time being. So looking at the market action, it's screaming that inflation has peaked and that the rate of inflation is coming down. I think people get these terms confused. You know, they think, okay, well, and if inflation is going to go down, that means we're going to have deflation, which is a totally different thing. You know, disinflation means you have inflation, but the rate of it is coming down. So I think next year we could have disinflation where the rate of inflation, and that's how markets work. You know, when things change direction, that's more important than the absolute levels that they're at. So I don't know if inflation is going to be 4% next year, 2%, 5%, 3%, but I strongly think that the rate of it is going to come down. It's going to be less than where we're at right now. And that's the important thing that's being reflected by the action in the markets. And I think commodities have peaked as well. If you look at copper, industrial metals, you know, they came to a 10-year base. You know, gold is forming the handle on this bullish cup and handle pattern. So it has a 10-year base or 10-year resistance. So I think at some point in the next couple of years, I mean, we'll get another big leg higher, I think, in commodities and resources. But it's not going to happen next year. And, you know, gold's the leader. Gold's been correcting for 17 months now, and silver as well. I mean, silver, it held up better than gold initially during this correction, but it really didn't go above the August 2020 peak. So gold and silver have been correcting for a while. They remain pretty weak. You know, the Fed's about to hike interest rates. They're tapering. You know, when I just looked, and every time the Fed has tapered in the last, you know, 7-8 years, real yields, you know, real interest rates tend to rise, and that's bad for gold. So when they start tapering, that's bad for gold. Real interest rates are looking to me like they're going to rise this year. So the picture in the coming months is not bullish for precious metals. So, I mean, there these factors that the market is starting to discount or has been discounting for several months, they do not reflect an environment where inflation is going to continue to increase. But I will say, I think inflation in general, I do think it's here to stay, but it's going to come down to a lower level next year.
Well, if we look at John Williams' shadow stats, by his measure, and I think it's at least as credible as the U.S. government's, perhaps more, he's saying 14% currently. So what's it going to come down to? 8, 9, 10%, 7, 8%? Those are still enormous high rates of inflation that are really providing investors with negative rates of return and negative real interest rates on debt. So this will just keep the whole debt spiral going, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, they have to keep the whole system going. I mean, it'd be catastrophic to let everything fail. I mean, we saw that in 2008. I mean, if they let this thing fail, there would be another Great Depression, probably even worse than the first one. And I mean, through inflation, we are kind of having a softer depression. I mean, a lot of average people in the last decade or two, I mean, they've been really, really hurt. I mean, that, you know, we all know that story. But if you look at shadow stats, it's interesting because even the direction that it trends in is similar to the direction for the government stats. And so I pointed out, you know, markets really move on direction. So, I mean, if some people will say that to me, they'll say, hey, we'll look at shadow stats, you know, inflation is not going down. It's at 14%. But it's the direction that really matters. And so, I mean, based on that, I'm not really sure what it might come down to. But one thing we have to keep in mind, you know, when and you have a year like we've had this year or last year where the statistics, they rise considerably, the following year is a comparison off of that year. So it's, you know, inflation has, I mean, it can remain high and elevated and not even increase that much based on, you know, what happened this year. Mm-hmm. So even if inflation is, you know, let's say 2 or 3% next year, I mean, that's still a huge problem for people because it's, you still have the high prices from this year. I mean, you would need to see like a big decrease in prices for it to, you know, really, you know, impact people positively. So that's why I say inflation, you know, there's nuance to my view. Yes, inflation is here to stay. The secular inflation trend is going to trend higher over time, but we've had such a pop in the last 18 months. I just think statistically, we're going to see it come down next year. And, you know, oil and energy prices, they're a big driver. And so if oil has peaked for the time being, then that definitely will be the case. I mean, one way I could be wrong is if we see oil at some point break higher again next year. I mean, that could throw a monkey wrench into my outlook here. But to go back to your question, I mean, if it's 14% this year, I don't know what it's going to come down to, you know, 7-8% maybe based on that stat. I'm not really sure. I just strongly think it's going to be lower next year.
Could be right, especially if the Fed starts pulling away the punch bowl. But initially, you know, they're saying 3 rate hikes for 2022. But all we need is the Fedicom variant. And that could be off the table tomorrow, right?
You know, I have not checked the Fed funds futures, but, you know, the Fed follows the market. We've talked about that in the past, Kerry. And if you look at even on Friday, I saw a chart from Bloomberg. On Friday, they were showing a 49% chance of a rate hike in March. I mean, that's right now, that's like 2.9 months away. And I think a 65% chance of a hike in May. So I think the real question, you know, of course, there's a lot of people like Peter Schiff saying, you know, they're not going to hike. And they were saying the same thing in 2014, 2015, and the Fed got all the way up to 2.5%. I mean, they did it in baby steps, but they still did it. And so I think you really have to follow the market. And so I don't know. I mean, this new variant, I mean, I'm not an epidemiologist, whatever it's called. I'm not that, but it seems that this is more widespread, but less deadly. You know, I was looking at some graphs, and where you could see, you know, the cases were going up, but the deaths hadn't really gone up. So that's really good news. So I don't, you know, and I think we're 18 months or 20 months, whatever, into the pandemic. And so I think people now, they know what they have to do to live with it. And so I think it's each new wave is having less and less of an economic impact. So I don't think that's going to dissuade the Fed. I mean, I think they know that, you know, they have to hike soon. The market is telling them they have to hike. So to me, Kerry, the real question is, what is going to happen after they hike? How long is this rate hike cycle going to last? You know, is it next year? It looks like we're going to have lower inflation. We're going to have lower growth. So growth could become, you could have a little bit, even though growth and inflation are coming down next year, you could have some stagflation worries just because growth. I mean, I'm following various different economists. You know, they're worried about the economy practically slowing to, you know, zero growth in the second half of next year because there's less fiscal support and, you know, for other reasons. So that's, I mean, to me, that's going to be real interesting is how long is this Fed rate hike cycle? And after they do the first hike, I mean, are we going to see disinflation or is inflation going to remain high and they're going to have to just hike for a while? I mean, I don't know, but to me, that's the real interesting question is what will this rate hike cycle look like? What is the economy going to look like after it slows down a little bit next year? Can they, is there going to be some reinflation in 2023? Is more fiscal support coming? I mean, I don't know. I mean, if the economy slows down to zero growth in the second half of next year, I mean, does that prompt lawmakers on both sides to put in more fiscal support? I mean, I'm not sure. I'm just raising these questions. So again, to me, that's the question is not, oh, the Fed's going to, you know, the Fed is going to hike or they're not going to hike. They're going to hike. Just look at the market. The real question is that rate hike cycle and, you know, how long it's going to last. And what, you know, what happens to the economy? Is it going to, you know, crawl to slow to a crawl again? You know, one thing I read from Barry Bannister, who's an excellent strategist, you know, based on all the data that he looks at, he calculates that a 1% Fed funds rate in mid-2023, so that's about 18 months away, that could be enough to put the S&P into a real bear market. And that, and so if we have some kind of a blow off, which a lot of people are predicting, you know, over the next 12 or 18 months, you know, then a 1% Fed funds rate would put us into a bear market. I mean, that's unfortunate, but that, you know, that would be that there is a super bullish catalyst for precious metals. I mean, the initial bullish catalyst we've talked about is when the Fed hikes rates, and we know that's coming, you know, probably May would be my guess at this point. So that's the immediate catalyst for precious metals. So I think they'll have a good rally after that. But looking out to 2023, I mean, if there is a, you know, real risk of a bear market, you know, that could be the catalyst that gets gold to, you know, break out of this super bullish cup and handle pattern and trade much, much higher. So I don't know if I said anything definitively there, but that's just how I'm thinking about these things over the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, well, you've been pretty spot on about the precious metals market. You know, do you think that perhaps this long-winded, long of tooth stock market bull market is finally had its day?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
FPX Nickel is developing the large-scale Dakar Nickel District in central British Columbia. Within the district is FPX Nickel's PEA stage Baptiste Nickel Deposit, which is projected to be among the world's top 10 largest nickel mines by annual output. The Baptiste Deposit has the potential for the lowest quartile operating costs at just $2.74 per pound. And compared to recent global nickel mines, the project requires a low capex. FPX is also commencing its first ever drill program at its Van Target in the Dakar Nickel District. Surface samples have indicated that the Van Target footprint is larger in scale and 10 to 15% higher in grade than Baptiste. FPX Nickel trades in Canada as FPX and on the OTC under FPOCF. To learn more, go to FPXNickel.com. That's FPXNickel.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
I wish I knew for sure. I mean, my sense is I think there's we could have a risk of a correction this coming year, but I don't, you know, I don't think the overall, I don't think the whole thing is at risk of a bear market or a crash just yet. You know, I would say 2023, because typically when the Fed hikes rates, usually the market peaks. I mean, depending on which cycle you look at, the it usually takes like a year or so for it to really start to slow down the market and potentially cause a bear market in a recession. So I don't think, you know, that would be my guess, not when they start hiking, but you have to give it some time. And there have been some cycles where they really, I mean, the 99, they started hiking rates in 99. They were only able to hike rates 1 year in that cycle. Where a lot of other cycles, you know, it's 2 years or so. So I think it's too early to think about a bear market and a real meltdown in the stock market. I mean, we're not there yet. Obviously, the risk is incredibly high, the long-term risk. You're going to perform terribly if you buy stocks here and hold them for 10 years. I mean, common stocks, the stock market, that is. But I think it's, you know, another thing to think about is, you know, how much of this fiscal money, the $6 trillion package, I mean, has all of that been spent? Is there still some to be spent? You know, how much of the infrastructure money is going to be spent in 2023? So I just, unless the economy like really slows to a zero point, I don't see risk of more than a 15 to 20% decline. But I do think that, you know, 2023, 2024, that could be a window where, you know, the stock market would be at a greater risk of a meltdown than it is here and now.
That's all pretty interesting. Obviously, we can't tell for sure. The future is always uncertain, as somebody once said who himself was very uncertain about things. But certain things we do know, that every time they raise rates, the stock market, or threaten to, the stock market has an adverse reaction. And we could well be seeing that now, couldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, I remember that in 2015, and we have seen that recently. I do think there's risk of I've been talking about it for a while. I do think there's a risk of a correction next year, not a bear market, but a correction. And so it might, you know, the correction might occur, you know, around the time they execute the first rate hike, or maybe it starts a little bit before that. I mean, that's certainly possible. I mean, with respect to precious metals, like we really need to see, I think, greater than a 10% correction for it to be a real significant catalyst. But, you know, we already have the rate hike catalyst itself. So from the perspective of precious metals, you know, I'm not real keen on the stock market. But that's my thinking, is that, you know, them just hiking rates once or twice, that's not going to trigger a bear market. But, you know, given where everything is, there's definitely correction risk next year. So that, you know, that's possible where, you know, they start hiking rates, it triggers a correction in the stock market. But then after that correction, the stock market has one more move to the upside, you know, before there's real risk of a bear market.
All right, I'll buy that. So you're basically kind of neutral on precious metals then, if I have it right, neutral to slightly bearish.
Well, I would say, yeah, I'd say the next 3 or 4 months short term, like the next couple weeks or month, I would say I'm, you know, slightly leaning optimistic. However, 3 or 4 month type of view, I would say bearish. But I would say, you know, after that period when the Fed's likely to hike, I'm very bullish after that point, because the average, you know, looking at the last 3 or 4 cycles, gold rallied an average, I think, of 28% when they started raising rates, you know, after, or it, you know, it bottomed and it rebounded 28% around the time of the first rate hike. And I looked at silver, by the way, and silver in the last 4 rate hike cycles, it rebounded an average of 42% with that first rate hike. So that's my thinking. If we see gold and silver, aside from, you know, maybe they're having a little bounce now, but aside from that, if we see them trend lower and they're selling off as the market becomes more comfortable with the idea that the Fed is going to hike in, you know, March or May, that to me will be leading into a point where you could have a really good rebound in the metals. And if you just look at, so even if gold, like let's say it dropped to 1600, I mean, let's just say a 25% rebound. I mean, 25% off of 1600, that gets you to 2000. If it goes to 1570, the 50% retracement, you know, 28% or 29%, I mean, it's still a rebound that gets you into the 1900s. So that's kind of my thinking here. I mean, if you know, developments over the next couple of months don't change my view, then my thinking is we'll see, you know, gold could rally to 2000, you know, by the end of next year. That's how I'm looking at it. I mean, it all depends on the rate hike, but also the metals selling off before that rate hike.
All right, well, All right. Well, we're going to have to see. Time is the ultimate test, and it will show whether you were right or not. But we certainly know that generally precious metals take off when interest rates start heading higher because banks start loaning more, higher profits on their lending positions. And we know that lending from banks has been kind of in a 10-year bear market, if you will. It's actually stayed the same or gone down, which is the first time in history that's happened. While reserves have gone up, so they're going to start looking for return on those reserves at some point. And maybe that's when it's going to happen, when rates start going up. So I guess, Jordan, the best place to find you, still just tell us your site and how we subscribe.
You can find everything at thedailygold.com. There's a lot of free content there, and you can subscribe. I think there's a link in the top right corner, if I'm not wrong.
All right. Excellent. And there's a link in the show notes to this interview on Financial Survival Network. Stop by there and send us an email. We'll get an answer from Jordan, kl@carrylutz.com. That's the email address. Jordan, always a pleasure. Always very enlightening. We take your views very seriously based upon past experience. And we will definitely talk to you again next quarter. See how those, see how reality has comported with your view on your take on the market. Appreciate you coming on as always.
Gary, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.